the intro.
Hello. Hello and welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. And today's lesson is a guided exercise. First of its kind, mind you, pretty cool stuff. Many people become distracted. They get foggy. They lose sight and start doing what feels good rather than doing the stuff that's good for them. So one thing that helps people to manage the stress that arises from stuff like this is to learn how to focus your attention and get a stronger grip on what you're thinking, which in turn modifies the way you are feeling, which then tunes urges and impulses away from doing dumb stuff and toward doing smart stuff. So take this framework as a typical example. The three favorite letters in the whole entire universe, right? Somebody encounters a frustrating stimulus, okay? They quickly become overwhelmed by their tension here between stimulus and response. They get overwhelmed by their tension, the combination of thoughts and feelings and urges in a knee-jerk fashion. It directs them away from hassle. They get directed away from hassle. And then they respond, a cognitive behavioral response, by indulging in what are really temporary cravings, these urges, to shrink or avoid the feelings of tension caused by the frustrating stimulus. So the whole point of responding is to make this go away, okay? Or try to anyway, right? And in the case of acting impulsively and building lots of tension and indulging in cravings and impulses, this ends up being away from the hassle, right? Going away from the stimulus rather than resolving the stimulus. Hopefully that makes sense. It's kind of a distraction. And so what happens is this often leads to a self-sabotaging and destructive outcome at O. The destructive outcome can either lead to more frustrating stimuli or become a frustrating stimulus all on its own, many times stacking problems on top of problems, okay? For instance, going off a health plan might be frustrating enough to give yourself permission to go off a health plan even further, by indulging in a craving that distracts from the tensions caused by going off plan, which then, you know, right? You get a course of the screw-its and they all start on Mondays and that sort of stuff. Because logic, okay? Or getting into an argument with children or coworkers or spouses and then hitting below the belt and winning, ha! And when you win, you both lose, creating animosity, which ends up causing more frustrating stimuli, right? Or chronic procrastination leading to anxiety that increases snacking or drinking or sleeplessness, agitation, anxiety, where you may get done what you want to get done at the cost of getting fatter and weaker and sicker and feeling like garbage, which then creates its own set of frustrating stimuli. Technical phraseology here. So this exercise is about doing the stuff you've thus far convinced yourself you hate doing by overcoming an attention deficit, as it were. You get distracted and do something else to go away from, shrink, delay, avoid a frustrating stimulus rather than resolving it, okay? That is getting distracted by indulging in the irritating tensions caused by a vice and choose to distract from, delay, or avoid it, again, rather than resolving it entirely and moving on with your life to bigger and better things. When you legitimately pay attention and keep attention, you, by default, increase your engagement in and quality of your outcomes on practically anything you do. Additionally, it will be more satisfying. So ha! This goes for food, work, physical activity, sex, conversation, just about anything you give a damn about. This exercise will help you engage in it fully and do more than make you feel better, but actually legitimately make it better and get you better and help you stay better. This, again, is also true for practically anything you think is lame or tedious or boring, or especially for things you find particularly frustrating. So this exercise is meant to help you focus and build frustration tolerance so that you can be more engaged. It's easily generalizable to anything else in life, and all it takes is a cup, all right? The point of this guided exercise is to show you how much attention we really pay to stuff, especially stuff we think we pay attention to. Just because it's familiar, we think we pay a lot of attention to it, and thus it is even easier to lose sight of. Frankly, the amount of attention is fleeting at best. It's close to zero, okay? Indeed, people pay just enough to not die and pay just enough attention to avoid hassle at the expense, as you know, of paradoxically causing even more hassles to avoid later, also known as FAPing, the frustration aversion paradox. When we really focus our attention on just about anything, it automatically becomes more interesting and imbued with greater and more meaningful purpose. And we're going to prove that right now. Here is your challenge. Here's your challenge to legitimately increase your level of inquisitiveness when purposefully paying attention and engaging 100% with anything you do. Okay? This exercise involves us drinking a drink together. On purpose and with purpose. Actually, less than that. It's just taking a sip of a drink, okay? So this challenge is to pay attention to literally everything that happens during this process. The smell, the taste, the way the drink feels on your tongue and cheeks, the complicated mechanics and interesting satisfaction of swallowing. However, it will be much different than you think. I promise, okay? And when, rather than if, when your attention wanders to something else, that's okay. That's the way she goes. The only thing is to notice that you've wandered rather than what you've wandered to. And take that as your cue to bring your attention back to the drink. Aha. Before we begin, it is best if you do this exercise in complete silence. If you're in a noisy place, that's okay. This will be here for you later regardless. Do it with me now anyway. So put your cup down on the nearest surface you can. Take hold of your cup. Take hold of your cup. Look at this cup as if it's the first time you've ever seen a cup in your entire life. The first time you've ever seen anything like this in your entire life. Observe the cup's strange form. Strange form. Interesting colors. Okay? How the form in your hands matches the form in your vision. Okay? You feel it, and what you're feeling, it feels like the way you see it. What about the texture? What is the texture like? Run your fingers over the cup and notice how the texture interacts with the visual forms. The way that it looks kind of makes sense in terms of how it feels. See, running fingers across the text here, and I feel the little divots, feel the little changes in texture. So close your eyes, okay, and see how the vision of the cup's texture matches the way it feels in your hands. So if you visualize what the cup looks like and you're touching it, and you can start to reconstruct the image in your mind and match how the texture is matching the visual stimulation, even when your eyes are closed and your brain is reconstructing the form, okay, in your mind. Now, with your eyes still closed, take note of the cup's weight, okay? Interesting how the longer you hold the cup, the heavier it appears to get, right? The heavier it appears to get, the longer you hold it. With your eyes still closed, okay, again, pay attention to how heavy it is. Now open your eyes again and examine how light interacts with the cups. Now we're moving from texture and form to light. How does light interact with the cup? How it subtly changes in the colors. The colors change their intensity and the hues as you handle the cup and manipulate it and move it around. Now pay attention to the liquid inside of the cup. All sorts of stuff going on in there. What's happening? Examine how the light interacts with the liquid. Swirl it around. Notice how the light almost magically bends and reflects and interacts with the liquid. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Now notice the patterns that are swirling around as you swirl and how those interact with the light. Bring the cup to your nose while it's still swirling. And envision some vapor coming up to your nose and cultivating that strangely amazing sensation of smell. If it's coffee or tea or any other smelly beverage, it'll be easier, and you'll notice that even if it's just plain water, you'll still smell something. Close your eyes and inhale deeply, like legit, on purpose and with purpose. Maximize that aromatic experience, wafting. Move the cup from your nose to your mouth. Just leave it there, awkwardly. Leave it. Notice the cup against your lips. Notice the cup against your lips. How does the cup feel against your lips versus your fingers? What is the difference here in terms of texture? Do you notice anything, or temperature? How does that relate to what you actually see? What about what you see when you close your eyes? These thoughts about drinking, these feelings about drinking the cup next to your mouth, they combine to make a strange tension. An urge to start drinking, right? Why else would a cup be near your face like this, full of liquid? So there is an urge to drink that's building. Is the urge strong? Do you have an urge to drink? Is there tension? Yes. Do you have to drink? Must you drink, even though it's right here and you feel the urge and it's tempting and it's awkward? Do you have to drink? Or is it something that you notice and it just kind of feels strange, maybe even irritating, but you know you still have a choice as to whether you drink or not? Now with the cup still to your face, here's what you're going to do next. You're going to feel all that tension, really. Feel the tension of the drinking, urge, craving, okay? And isolate it right to the tip of your lips. This is where the tension is, the drinking tension. Then you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to imagine that tension right at the tip of your lips again. More intense lip tension, the lip tension. Now ever so gently, move the cup away. But make sure to keep that tension, the impulsive urge to drink on the tip of your lips. I feel it. The tension is there, and it's building, and it's tingly, okay? And growing with intensity. Now you're going to take that tension, and you're going to move it to your collarbone. That tension is going to move to your collarbone. And then that tension is going to move to your shoulder. And then that tension is going to move to your elbow. And then that tension is going to move to your wrist. And then to your fingers, okay? That urging tension is now in your fingers while you're holding the cup. That impulse to drink, it was so strong. And right at the tip of your lips. But now there's another sort of urging tension that you moved from your lips to your collarbone, to your shoulder, to your elbow, to your wrist, into your fingers. There's another sort of tension in there. But now that tension is dissipating into the form of the cup. Notice that how when that tension dissipates, the cup now, interestingly, feels so much lighter than it did before. The cup is now so much lighter that you've dissipated all that tension. And the weight of your impulsive urge is now diffused away. And you can, still holding on to the cup, put the cup down right where it started, and then slowly remove your hand from the cup and go back to the original posture when we started this exercise. So now we've come to the end of the exercise itself, and now it's time to take a deep breath, to look around, and list out loud 5 things you notice right now. These lights are blinding me. It's cold in here. I'm actually perspiring a little bit. Okay? I'm standing at a desk, which is kind of strange. I'm talking to you. Okay? 5 things I notice right now. Take another deep breath. Listen in. List out loud 3 things you hear. I hear the fan. I hear the feedback from a speaker. Okay? I hear the fizzies of a drink. And notice exactly where you are and what you're doing. Okay? Next time you're feeling a lot of tension and you have a strong and impulsive urge and a craving and impulsion to distract from responsibilities, to indulge in a craving, you feel overwhelmed by thoughts and feelings associated with those things, generally just feeling a strong urge to go away from a hassle rather than toward a benefit. And for that reason, your attention becomes blurry and foggy and cloudy and distracted and possibly overwhelmed, and so do you. So take a moment to really engage with what you're actually doing on purpose and with purpose, like you did right here, just now, okay? And you can do this over and over, and it's an amazingly powerful tool. It's highly generalizable to just about anything. So there, now you have proof firsthand that you can pay attention to something, you can get a distracting urge, and then overcome that distracting urge, and then go back to what you were doing before. That's the point, okay? You've simultaneously overcome an attention deficit, improved your tolerance to frustration, and emboldened your presence of mind to overcome an urge, overcome an impulse that otherwise maybe a person would have thought impossible to do, okay? Notice that you were stimulated, you audited your thoughts, feelings, and urges, dissipated that urge, and chose instead to act in a way that was in direct conflict with that craving, and have everything turn out okay. And that means if you can do it once, you can do it again and again and again, and again, and again. And to boot, you also managed to have a relatively strange and intense sensory experience. All right, thank you for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!